Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Welcome to Spoon Press Audio. This is Anna M, and I am super excited to read to you the third chapter of my story, Don't Know Jack. I just finished writing it this morning, and it is packed with action. But just a note of warning that this chapter does include some strong language. If that's not your thing, I do apologize on behalf of my characters. Okay, so let's get into it. Just when Charlotte lifts her hand to knock on the blue door of the flat, it opens. The two women stare at each other, startled. But then a man with a bald head and dark beard appears behind the blonde in the doorway. "Charlie," he exclaims, surprised. "What are you doing here?" "Hi, Blake. Can I see you for a sec?" The guy, Blake, glances to the blonde, whose expression is now openly hostile. "The fuck are you?" she asks, looking Charlotte up and down. "No need to worry, sweetie," Charlotte says. "I'm just helping your man Blake here with a couple of things, okay? Strictly platonic. Now, Blake, a quick chat. It's about you know what." Blake hesitates, then turns to his girlfriend. "Give me 2 minutes, okay?" She doesn't look very pleased about it, but nods. Blake beckons Charlotte to the side of the building and they step into the alleyway. Two rats scurry from behind the bins and scram in the opposite direction. "I told you not to come here," Blake says. Up close, his pupils are dilated, and Charlotte can smell the pot on him. "Your phone's off," she says. "Is it?" He pulls the phone from his pocket and stares at it. Then he curses. "Look, I just wanted to ask you something about that guy." "What guy?" Blake asks, distracted, as he taps on his phone screen. "The guy I'm following, Jack Forrester?" "Ah, yeah. Got anything for me yet?" Charlotte hesitates. "Perhaps. Something happened yesterday." "Yeah, what?" "There was an incident at the pool. He nearly drowned." That seems to perk Blake's interest. "Did you get photos?" "What? No, but..." "Then why the fuck are you coming here wasting my time, Charlie? Go back and get the pictures. That's what I'm paying you for." "Just to be clear, Blake, you're not paying me. Unless I missed a PayPal notification or something. It's more me doing you a favor here, remember? Trailing this guy when it's actually your job?" Blake grins. "It's called outsourcing, sweetheart. And you will get your money as soon as I get my photos." But the truth is, Charlotte couldn't give a hoot about the money. Not really. Let Blake keep his dirty paparazzi paychecks. That's not why she agreed to do the occasional soft job for him. Soft jobs is how Blake refers to his non-celebrity gigs, cheating husbands, business partners, looking to dip into greener pastures, etc. Everything that's not glitzy enough for him. No, their little arrangement suits her just fine for now. "Why are we following this guy, Blake? Do you know?" He turns his head and spits to the side. "Look, what is this about? 'Cause time is money, you know." "I'm sure Cinderella can wait," Charlotte says. "Jealous?" Blake grins. She rolls her eyes. "Oh, sod off." He chuckles and slips his phone back into his pocket. Charlotte tries again. "What's the story with this guy, Blake? Did they tell you?" He shrugs. "His girlfriend's some rich chick, that's all I know. Her daddy's some important business guy or whatever." "Then why aren't we following her?" "Maybe someone is. Why do I care?" Charlotte shakes her head. She's been trailing Jack Forrester for 2 weeks, uploading photos and reporting on his movements. But apart from his morning swimming sessions and the occasional trips to the city, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't go anywhere. He's nobody, as far as she can see. And what happened yesterday in the pool... well, something about it doesn't sit right with her, that's all. "Listen, sweetheart, just do the bloody job, that's all. I don't ask questions, so you don't ask questions. Do you want me to get someone else to..." No. No, I'll do it. Super. Then can I go now? Charlotte hesitates. Yeah, she says. Blake murmurs something to himself as he turns and walks off to where the blonde is waiting for him at the end of the alley. And turn your phone on, Charlotte calls after him. He flips her his middle finger over his shoulder. The pool is busy today. Sessions are limited to 15 minutes per person and Jack tapped in at 10:55 a.m., which gives him to 11:45. The woman said 11:28. That is, if there even was a woman. When he woke up this morning after the dream, Susanna was already up and taking a shower. He lay there in bed, recalling the dream, and waiting for the sense of realism to fade. But it didn't. The longer Jack thought about it, the more convinced he felt that it really happened. That he did see the woman in the pool, and that she did say those words to him. A little girl is going to drown. You have to save her. Now that he's here, Jack can't get his nerves to settle. He swims a few laps, glancing up at the clock with every turn. 11:12, 11:15, 11:18. At 11:24, he climbs out and unhooks his towel from the railing. Drying himself, he scans the pool area. 9 other swimmers in the pool, all men. No sign of a little girl. 11:26. This was the time the woman had said. The door to the pool area opens and his heart skips a beat. But it's a man, carrying a pair of fins and a water bottle. Still no girl. The seconds tick by. Jack holds his breath, his muscles tense. The lifeguard is at his post, watching the activity in the pool attentively too. When his gaze meets Jack's, he smiles. It's a new guy. Jack hasn't seen him here before. He wonders if the guard from yesterday has been let go because of what happened. God, he hopes not. 11:27. There. Nothing. Jack watches the digits as the clock changes again. 11:28. 11:29. Finally, he slowly lets go of his breath. He almost laughs. Of course nothing happened. What was he thinking? He waits 4 more minutes, just to be sure, and then he walks back to the locker room, glancing back at the pool one more time before he leaves. In the shower, Jack listens for loud voices from the other cubicles, amplified sounds. But all is back to normal, it seems. He closes the taps and dries himself. With a towel around his hips, he retrieves his bag from the locker. There are 2 other men preparing for their swim while he gets dressed. No one talks. When Jack is done, the men have left and he's alone in the locker room again. He goes over to the row of sinks, lowering his bag to the floor and looks up at the mirror. Bloody hell, he gasps and swings around. His heart is beating so wildly in his chest that he's sure he's going to faint. But there's no one. The restroom behind him is empty. Over here, Jack, a voice says. He turns back to face the mirror, and there she is again, still standing behind him in the reflection, just as she had been seconds before. What? Jack stammers, turning back to face the locker room again. Still empty, no woman. Jack! He turns slowly back. The woman he can see standing behind him in the mirror is the one from the pool, the same grey hair cascading over her shoulders, the same gaunt look. How is this happening? He stammers. Reflective surfaces, she says. That's the only way we can make ourselves seen on this side, unfortunately. Reflective what? He stares, suppressing the urge to turn around again. He knows the restroom is empty. Mirrors, windows, water, she explains. That's where we can make you see us. We? Who's we? Jack asks. He blinks, and then the woman is suddenly gone. In her place stands a girl in a yellow raincoat. Jack gasps. Bloody hell. You're... It's the girl from the bus stop, the one he had seen from the BMW's window yesterday. And just then, the girl is gone as well, as if the image has been swiped to the left, and in her place now stands the woman Jack had seen sitting on the bus yesterday through the 2 windows. What the heck? He stammers. The image flips again, and now it's the woman from the pool again. We don't have time for this, Jack, she says, There's something you need to do for us. He stares at her, and then he remembers. Wait, you said a girl was going to drown. There's no girl. You tricked me. It was a test, to make sure you can really hear us, to test the communication channels, so to speak. I don't. We had to make sure you're real, Jack, she says. He stares at her, and then he laughs. Real? Excuse me for pointing out the obvious, but... Like I said, Jack, there's no time for this. We can explain it better later. Right now, we need you to do something for us. Oh, okay, right, he says sarcastically. What is it this time? Want me to save an imaginary baby from a burning building? Help an old lady across the street, Throw the apple at the yellow car. He gapes at her. What? Just throw the apple at the yellow car, Jack. That's all. Throw the apple at the yellow car. That's right. And it's of the utmost importance that you don't hesitate. Do you understand? No, I don't understand. What apple? What yellow car? He shouts. There's a sound behind him, and when Jack turns, two men who have just entered the locker room are staring at him with wide eyes. Sorry, he smiles. I was just... He turns to face the mirror, but the woman is gone. Moments later, Jack comes staggering out through the leisure center sliding doors, nearly bumping into a group of women on their way in. Once outside, he stops and gasps for air, steadying himself with his hands on his knees. What the? He mutters. Jack? Jack looks up and sees a girl in front of the steps. It takes him a second to recognize her. She looks different in the puffer jacket, with a purple beanie pulled low over her face. It's CPR girl. The angel. Charlotte something. She has a camera in her hand. Are you okay? She asks. Jack doesn't answer, but rushes down the steps and brushes past her. He has to get out of here. Wait, she calls after him. Leave me alone. But he can hear her footsteps following him. It's me, Charlotte Harding, remember? I just want to ask you something. And I said no, he shouts over his shoulder. He jumps when a cab hoots loudly right in front of him. Jack stops at the edge of the sidewalk as the cab flashes past in the street. The driver points an angry finger at him. As soon as the coast is clear again, Jack struts across the street. Will you wait for a second? Charlotte calls out, following. Jack walks faster. Can we maybe go for a quick coffee? She asks again, keeping in step behind him. I'd really like to ask you about... Jack stops suddenly in front of the grocer and swings to face her. What do you want from me? Why can't you just leave me alone? I'm grateful to you for saving me and all that, but... His eyes land on the camera, still in her hand, and he stops. Wait, are you a reporter? No, it's not. I have nothing to say to you, lady. Just then, a movement to Jack's right catches his eye. A man who's just stepped out of the grocer carrying a basket trips over the uneven pavement. As Jack watches, something topples from the man's basket and drops to the floor. It's a single red apple. It hops and then rolls over the pavement, coming to a standstill right in front of Jack's feet. Instinctively, he bends and picks it up. Charlotte is selling him something, but Jack's not listening. He's staring at the apple in his hand. Throw the apple at the yellow car, Jack. That's all. Jack looks up, just in time to see a yellow Mini Cooper coming towards them down the street. It is of the utmost importance that you don't hesitate. Without thinking, Jack throws. There is the loud screeching of tires as the Mini Cooper swirls and skids across the road, right in front of an oncoming motorbike. There's a crashing sound as metal meets metal. The man who had been sitting on the bike is tossed through the air. When his body meets the tar a second later, he rolls once and then lies completely still. Wait, that was hectic. I hope you enjoyed that episode. You probably won't believe this, but just like you, I have no idea what's going to happen next. I'm sure the characters will fill me in tomorrow morning when I sit down to write. Until then, it's anybody's guess. But I promise that you will know as soon as I know, and that I will get the next chapter to you within the next 2-3 days. Thanks for the patience. Thank you for listening. And if you like, subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and spread the joy. Till next time. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.